The next phase is to grow from a church plant to an established church. Now, what defines, where is the line between a church plant and an established church? Well, there are many things to look at. I think first of all is to understand that the church plant is normally dependent on another church for its support, for its resources, for its finances. So you are dependent on another church to finance you. You are dependent on another church for facilitators, for encounters, and for Bible school. And there's this codependency on a financial and a practical level. But once you have grown to the level where you are financially independent of the base church that from which you were planted, and you're independent when it comes to your manpower and your staffing, then you're an established church. It means you are financially and ministry-wise independent. You can stand on your own. That's normally between 100 and 150 mark. You normally break through, sometimes even earlier, depending on the community that you're in. For most churches, however, it is very difficult to break through the 100 adult mark. And there's various reasons for that, and we'll look at some of those challenges. But I think in this established church phase, it's so important that your focus should be on consistent growth, discipleship, and leadership development. Consistent growth is important because you want to grow consistently, but you also want to grow within the capacity that you have, something that you will find in every phase. So leadership development becomes very important because now you're independent, you're set, and now you got to take this church to the next level. Outreach and an outward focus is going to have to be central, because when you were small and there were only 15 people, you had an almost natural outreach focus. So people naturally were excited to see people come. They were naturally excited to be involved and to invite people. The larger your church becomes, the more it becomes consumed with its own needs. And it starts to look at its own people and its own desires and maintaining the system and the structure to actually keep everything together. And so easily one can drift away from an outward focus. At the same time, as the church grows, equally important, it's important to focus on relationships. It's important to focus on fellowship and doing fun stuff together and building that relationships and maintaining relationships. Because in the same measure, as one grows and one becomes more dependent on systems and structures to communicate and to organize, one can so easily lose that family, that heart, that fellowship. So your outward focus and your inward focus, but I don't want to call it an inward focus, but your love focus, these two things should be primarily your concern in this time. As to focus on it, to maintain it, is very important. Another thing that helps in this phase is actually to sit with your leaders and carefully and prayerfully decide on a ministry that you would like to be known in your community as the best in town. In other words, you would like your church to be known of having the best kiddies church in town. So that whenever people talk about church, when they talk about your church, they say, this church has got the best kiddies church. And then to invest resources in that ministry and advertise that ministry in your community. Once you've established the best kiddies church, you can then move on to having the best youth in town. And so you can gradually build your ministries, but start with one ministry where you're going to actually start drawing in your community. And combined with your outreach, this becomes very effective, reaching the unsaved and the lost. But also you must understand there are so many disillusioned and hurt people in our communities. Disillusioned with church, hurt in church. So it's important that you also maintain that personal relationship with those who are coming in. As a pastor, in this phase, you must try and get to the new believers and especially the new visitors. Assimilation becomes very important. Follow-up becomes very important. It's always important, but try to be personally involved. However, don't forget your committed members. Don't forget the people that's been in church for so long. So it's going to be difficult to balance it all, but that's why you need to train leaders and you need to find opportunities to delegate responsibilities to the leaders that you have trained. So you've got to personally be involved in discipling and training leaders so that they can catch your heart, they can catch the vision, so that like Paul, when he sent Timothy and he wrote to Ephesians, he says, listen, yeah, I'm sending Timothy and he will remind you of me. And that's what you really want to impart with your leaders. You want to impart who you are so that they can impart that heart, that passion to those around them. Very important. The other thing is also in this phase is to be realistic in your growth expectation. And mix that realism with faith. So there's an aspect of being real, but there's also an aspect of faith. And I just want to put that in balance because especially in this phase when you're established, you know, normally initially in the church plants phase, your growth, you know, we experienced, for instance, in Hermanus, we had a growth rate of 200% within the first 6 months. And it is so exciting, but you cannot necessarily maintain a growth rate of 200%. Because if you grow that rapidly, you need leaders to assimilate. And when you move to another phase, don't be disappointed if you can't maintain 200%. A lot of research has been done around church growth and church planting. And I just want to read some interesting stats concerning church growth in America under the evangelical churches. What have they discovered over 20 years of a realistic growth percentage? So I'm just going to read you something that they've come up with, which is very interesting. I use this statistically as a baseline. I'm saying, okay, if this is the average, I'm going to trust God to buck the trend. I'm trusting God to go beyond this. But what is realistic? Yeah, they say poor growth is less than 2% a year. So if your church grows less than 2% a year, that is poor growth. Fair growth is between 3-5% a year. Good growth is between 6-8% a year. So they're saying, listen, yeah, if you can grow between 6-8% a year, that's good growth. Excellent growth is 9-11%. If you grow 9-11%, that's excellent. Outstanding growth is 12-15% a year. So if you manage to grow 12-15%, that is outstanding. And then they say incredible growth is when you start to grow from 16-20% plus. So that gives you a kind of an trend to measure growth with. Now I want to encourage you, put out your faith to buck the trend. However, if you're starting to get to the incredible growth, you must understand when you get to that growth rate, you have to focus on developing your leaders. You've got to invest in your leadership structure because if you don't have enough leaders to assimilate that growth, you are going to plateau. So you've got to invest in your leaders so that you can continue to grow. And I want to encourage you, you know, statistics helps us, but it should not confine us. I remember when we had a merger in Hermanus, statistically they say, listen, your mergers, if you take 1 + 1, you're not going to get 2. If you take 50 people and you merge them with another 50 people, don't expect to have 2. You're actually going to have 1. You're going to have 50 + 50 and you're going to end up with 50 people after a year. Because change is difficult. People are going to leave. So it was interesting for me to know. But I trusted God. I said, God, I know statistically 1 and 1 is 1. But I'm going to trust you that we are going to remain at 2. We're not going to lose too many members. And it was so encouraging. After 6 months, we did. And we started after the merge with 150 adults. And after 6 months, we were consistently over 200 adults. And I could thank God that we bucked the trend, that we actually had a growth rate of over 20%. And that was amazing. So I want to encourage you, don't let statistics limit your faith, but don't be unrealistic in your expectation. Put measurable goals there so that you can celebrate it. And what an awesome opportunity it is to tell people, look how awesome and faithful God is in making the church grow. So have realistic growth expectations, but add your faith to it and see what God does. Because remember, ultimately, He's the one that makes the church grow. The next phase is also a very exciting phase, and that's the base church phase. That is when the established church has grown to a place where it is ready to multiply. It's ready to plant. It's ready to either plant a church or to start a satellite church. And maybe just, yeah, I should maybe distinguish between a church plant and a satellite church. A church plant is when you send a pastor, like we explained, or a core team to a different town and or even a different part of your city to actually plant an independent church. A satellite is a church that is constantly dependent on you. To give an example, it might be you have a venue in center of town, but you also have a venue on the campus. And you decide that this year we have got so many students coming to our church, we would like to start a satellite on campus. And we're going to have morning services in town, and we're going to have evening services on campus. But we use exactly the same staff. So we're not duplicating staff, we're actually maintaining the staff. We are just moving our service to a different venue. That's a satellite. Now that satellite can grow to become an independent church, as opposed to a church plant where you send people to be ultimately independent. And that's the difference. Many times it's easier to start with a satellite before a plant, depending on your situation. In London, we experienced very effectively a satellite church planting, and because the city was so large and there are so many different communities within that city, initially when we planted our first church, we only gathered South Africans, and my heart, like I shared earlier, was really to reach out to non-South Africans, to the people of the city. But we also realized that as the non-South African joined our church and visited our church, what they experienced was a lot of South Africans, and they related to that experience as a South African culture rather than a Christian culture. And I realized the only way to solve this problem is to actually plant somewhere where there's not South Africans. So we planted the satellite, and we continued with our evening services in Wimbledon, and then we started morning services in Tooting. And all of a sudden, we started to reach the non-South Africans of that community. And then later on, we actually planted another satellite outside of London in a village, and we continued with the same staff, a central office, and it was a great way to actually multiply our capacity without great expense. And that's the advantage of that. Planting is very exciting because you are sending a group of people, ideally with a pastor somewhere, and you as a church support them as much as you possibly can financially, but also through sending facilitators and support and outreaches to that church. How do you know when are you ready to be planting? Well, first of all, I think it's important to see that your capacity of your church is kind of reaching an 80% of the venue. You know, if you see you are kind of reaching capacity and momentum, and that momentum can sustain a number of people moving on, because that's also something that we've realized in London. We reached the limit of our venue. We only could seat 120 people in our venue, and when we reached that point of 120 and we had to start a second evening service, we realized this is an ideal time to actually multiply, to actually start a satellite somewhere else. And that's exactly what we did. And we took 30 of our people and we sent them to Tooting to live there and to fellowship there and to have church there. And I still preached at both churches. I was still their pastor, but we took 30 people away from the one congregation. So one way to gauge that is whether you can afford to actually send some people away without losing momentum. The other way is look financially. Look, you have to be able to financially carry another church until it is self-sustainable. That's also very important. The other very important aspect is you must make sure that you have enough leaders trained and equipped that you can actually send. So you must make sure that you have enough leaders that you can send. So look at that. Do I have enough people? Do I have the right people to actually send? Do I have a core team that I can send with him? Once you've reached that phase, you know you're in a base church phase. And then also very practically that I've learned when it comes to planting a church, equally important to sending a pastor is to send a worship leader. It is so important. It's going to help that church plant tremendously, that satellite, if it has a decent worship leader and a decent worship team that can support him. In satellite plants, that's easy. You can use your own congregation's team. When you plant a church, it becomes a bit more difficult depending on the size of your band. So it's not just the size of your church, the size of your wallet, but it is about the size of your leadership, the size of your band that will determine the success of your satellite. During this phase, the role of the pastor is indispensable. Your role is so important in casting the vision why we are multiplying, why we are planting. But it's also important that you clarify the reality of what we are doing. So it's getting that balance right of casting the vision, but creating a realistic expectation. And that is your responsibility, the vision, but also the reality. Because so many of the hurts and the offenses that takes place in church planting is because of unrealistic expectations and presumptions. So it is so important that you cast the vision and you set the reality. Very important as a leader. Cast that vision, but bring the balance with setting the reality. That brings us to the conclusion of this life cycle. Where we started off as a fellowship group and a church plant, we've grown through these different phases and we're actually planting again. It's an amazing life cycle. It's an amazing adventure. And I want to encourage you, it brings challenges, yes, but the lives that are changed, the people that get saved, people that get set free, people that get healed, the gospel that is preached in communities and the kingdom growing, it outweighs all the challenges. And it is an amazing adventure. And I want to encourage you to be part of that, no matter what phase you're in as a church, to support your pastor, to support your leadership, to support your church in that phase and to see it grow beyond that so that we can complete our great commission that we are doing as worship unto God. And that is to go into all the world and make disciples, preaching and teaching and baptizing and loving and caring until his return, making that bride ready with an expectant heart for Jesus' return so that we too can join the glory and the joy of the Lord in that awesome day. May God bless you and may you enjoy church because it is an amazing adventure. Thank you.